It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Go to the Matthew chapter 7, verse 14.
Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
The gate is straight, and that gate is narrow way, and very few people find that gate, and many people go to the broad way. So we have to make up our mind. The narrow is the gate, and if you want to save your life, you have to throw the sin away. We read it in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. Then you will be having easy time to run your race. Marathon runners, do they run with a winter jacket and big heavy coat? No. And the runners, they wear almost like a short pants and a short shirt and things like that. Not only that, if they stop for drinking water or looking back who is coming, they lose the race. So hear the word of God saying, narrow road, straight road. Don't look left or right if you're running your race. And so you can make it. And he says, very few people go there. If your family doesn't want you to go to church, doesn't want to go to heaven, and you start pleasing the family, you will miss the boat. But if you give your life for Christ, then God will save your family. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved and your household. God wants to save our whole family, but one person has to take a lead. And that person can pray and intercede, and the whole family will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15.
Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them.
Yes. So here he's saying, there are people bringing obstacle in your path. They don't want to go to heaven, and they don't want you to go to heaven. And those people are saying, those kinds of people like the wolves in sheep's clothing. They come with a very good, a sweet talk, like a Jehovah's Witnesses, if you don't know, and Mormon. I was just reading the Mormon's pamphlet yesterday. One man, he was Mormon, and he says, Mormon God and Christian God is not the same. Do you know what the name of their church? Latter-day Saints Church of Jesus Christ. But if you know their doctrine, they say Jesus Christ was the brother of Lucifer. And you know Lucifer is the devil. And he says he was a brother of Lucifer and they are equal. And then say there is a God has a wife in heaven. And he has more children. And who are those children? Those children are different gods. All this kind of mixed up teaching this man had. And he was devoted to their church. And they say if you want to go to heaven, you have to work hard. You know, bring people to Mormon church and this and that. But one day somebody met him and told him about Jesus. He said, you know what? You don't have to do anything. You just ask forgiveness for your sins. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And God you're worshiping, that's not the God of Bible. God of Bible is called the Spirit. St. John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, our God is spirit. Whoever worships him, they should worship him with the spirit and truth. I didn't know that. So point I'm making, those Mormon people, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and some other denomination people, they come with a sweet talk. But if you don't know the truth, they can mislead you. That's what he says. Those people are false prophet, means false teaching. They come with a false teaching, but they come with a sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they are vicious animals. Only way you can figure it out, he says, you can figure it out from their fruits. Now, what are the fruits? If you read in Galatians chapter 5, and read verse 22 and 23.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
If the person is not born again, these fruits will not be there. I don't care how many times he goes to church, what kind of church he goes, you will not see these fruits in them. They can act like good person. You can only know the people by their fruits. He says, if the tree is good, the fruit is good. If the tree is bad, the fruit is bad. He says, you don't take the grapes from the thorny tree, and you don't take the olive from the thistles and thorny bushes. If somebody is talking about holiness, godliness, and trying to tell you about Jesus, find out if they are living Christian life. Are they really born again? If you are born again, then you have love of Christ in you. You go to some churches. Those people and the worldly people, you don't find any difference. They smoke outside, other people smoke outside. They have girlfriends, other people have girlfriends. They live without marriage, other people live without marriage. What is the difference? Oh, difference is I believe in Jesus, and the other people believe in some other God. What the Word of God says? God has not called us only to believe, but suffer for his sake. Follow Christ. Give a good example. Christian life is the life of Christ. We cannot be hypocrites. The Word of God says, don't you know you are the temple of the living God? And so God lives in you. And if you don't keep this temple holy, then God will destroy you. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. So here the Word of God is saying, you can know those people by their fruits. Don't get confused if somebody says, I'm a Christian and acting like devil. Okay, let's go at verse 21. Please, 21.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
Now here, somebody says, what's wrong if somebody says, oh, I love my God, I love my Father. There are other religious people, they have chanting. They chant about their God's name many, 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 many times. But the life is not changed. We cannot do the exactly like other people. The Word of God says, you cannot say Lord, Lord, Lord and disobey him. If we say Lord, what does it mean? Lord means he has authority over you. Lord of my life means he is a Lord of my life. Now, if you are married lady, then you have a husband as a head. So you want to do something, you ask your husband a permission. The same way, we have a Lord, means Jesus Christ. We have to know, we are Christian, are we following Christ? And if you don't, then see verse 22. Matthew 7:22.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Now somebody will say, and many people are saying, if somebody is casting out devils and doing the Lord's work, they said, oh, this person is from the devil. That's not what Jesus Christ is saying. Jesus Christ is saying, somebody was casting the devils, healing the sick, and doing so many good things, and now he is backslidden. And that person will think, oh, God was with me, and I did signs and wonders and miracles, and now I do whatever I want to do, and one day I'll go to heaven. He said, it will not work that way. He said, that day I will tell you, I don't know you. And he will cast them out to the hell. And one man asked me, how come? Here, word of God says, I never knew you. He says, doesn't God know everybody? So I gave him an example. I said, when you committing sin, and you are a sinner, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happens? Your sins are forgiven, washed, cleansed, and now are you a sinner? No, you are righteous. And he does not say you are a sinner. He said, you are my child. God says, you are my child. You are washed in the blood of my son. Now when I see through the blood, you are righteous. The old man is dead and gone. The same way, if somebody was a righteous and give up the righteousness and follow the devil, and then God is not going to consider his righteousness at all. In a book of Ezekiel, he says, one righteous man starts saying, I'm righteous, and start doing sin, he said his righteousness will not save him. God will punish him and he will go to hell. Now we have an example. Go to the book of John. We have to do it fast, time is running. St. John chapter 6. Now here in St. John chapter 6, Jesus Christ was preaching. And what he was preaching, he was saying, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And many people did not like it. And some of the disciples walked away. St. John chapter 6, verses 53-59.
Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him.
Read the verse 16.
Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it?
Verse 66.
From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
When you see this, here is saying, many of his disciples walked away and never walked with him again. Who are those disciples? Matthew chapter 10, there are 12 disciples. Luke chapter 10, there are 70 more disciples. But all these 70 disciples, when they heard this message, they walked away. Those are the disciples, the signs and wonders and miracles in Luke chapter 10. Those people said, we don't want to listen to Christ. We are going to walk away. And he says, not only walked away, they never walked with him again. That means completely backslidden. Read verse 67-69.
Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God.
Now what he's trying to say? Jesus said, okay, these 70 people left. Would you like to go? Where we should go? You have the eternal life. You are the one giving us eternal life. We are not going to go away. Now those 70 people walked away. They were with Jesus Christ, did the signs and wonders and miracles. What Jesus Christ is saying, in the last day, when I try to put them in hell, and they start saying, oh, Master, we did signs and wonders and miracles, and they even call me Lord, Lord. I'll say, hey, did you do what I told you to do? Did you do according to my Father's will? No. So he will say, I don't know you. Get out of here. And that's what Jesus Christ is going to do. And that's what this example is all about. Go back to the Matthew chapter 7, And start reading from verse 24. Now, this is another parable Jesus Christ is giving. Simple parables we teach in Sunday schools, and you might have heard it many a time.
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes.
Now here he gave an example. He said there was a wise man, and there was a foolish. Wise man built his house on the rock. Now to build the house on the rock is not an easy thing. You have to work hard, dig down more, and so you will be sweating, you will be spending more money, you will be tired, but until they hit the rock, and then you build your house on the rock, and then it will not fall. He gave the example how the wind came, the rain came, and everything came, and nothing happened. So that man, he says, you're a wise man. And the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, he says, that rock is Christ. So he says, if you're building a church, building your spiritual life, built on the rock, who is Christ. And if you start building your church, hay and wood and things like that, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, the fire will burn it out. And so what we need our Christian life built on Christ, not on any denomination, not on man's theory, not on man's teaching. We want to build our church on the rock. And that's what the Bible is all about. Our life should be solid like a rock, and that rock is Christ, so immovable. Our life should be rooted and grounded in Christ. Book of Matthew chapter 8, and starting from verse 1.
When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.
Now here, when he says, coming from the mountain, you know, the Sermon of the Mountain, we know. He was giving sermon on the mountain. Now he finished his sermon, he's coming down. And as he's coming down, all the people followed him. And while he's coming from the mountain, bottom of the mountain, here comes the leper. In those days, leper, they cannot come too close. And when they're walking, they have to say, unclean, unclean. Anybody touches them, those people get unclean, and they have to take a bath. And so this man standing afar and saying to Jesus, Jesus, I know if you want to cleanse me or make me clean, you can. That means he had the desire to be clean. But he didn't know Jesus Christ wanted to heal him or not. So he says, I know you can heal me. Do you want me to be healed? And so, see what Jesus Christ does. Verse 3.
And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean.
Now here this man, he not only asked Jesus that if you want me to heal, you can heal, but he bent down and he worshipped him. Maybe he was on the floor. So when Jesus Christ touches him on his head, he did not even see that he's touching him. But Jesus touched him and he says, I want you to be healed. And then as soon as he touched him and said that, the leprosy was healed, he says he was cleansed. That means he was completely healed. Many people today are Christians in America. They are saying it is not God's will to heal everybody. They said some people can get healed, some people cannot get healed. God cannot heal everybody. But here Jesus Christ saying, I want you to be healed. There is not a single scripture in the Bible that God doesn't want to heal his children. Even Jesus Christ said, healing is the children's bread. That means God's children should be healed. That's God's plan. Today they are teaching, when you are sick, you have to think that God put the sickness on you. And if God doesn't want to heal us, that's okay. But the same time, the same teaching they give, same time they go to the doctor and they get the medicine. And they even go to church and pray. But the pastor doesn't lay hand and pray, or pastor doesn't proclaim that we have a healing service. They are against. Then I tell these people, if God has given you this sickness, and if you think that is God teaching you something, then ask God to give you a little bit more horrible sickness. You say, if you get a headache, say, God, give me cancer, or give me tuberculosis, or give me some big disease, if it is your will. But they don't ask that. The same time, if God gave you something, why you go to doctor to oppose God, to fight with God? And so from that, I know they are wrong. God wants us to be healed. God wants us to be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous in every way. Now, you don't want your child to suffer, do you? No. Nobody wants their children to suffer. The same way, we are children of God, and God doesn't want us to suffer unnecessarily. So this leprosy is not ordinary disease. In Bible, there are different kinds of leprosy. But here doesn't say what kind of leprosy this man had. In leprosy, they lose their fingers, their nose, their toes, and their face looks ugly and people are afraid of them. But Jesus Christ didn't think anything that if I touch him, I'll be unclean, I have to take a bath, other people will say something. He was concerned about that person. Even though that person was ugly outside, but his heart was good. How do you know? He worshiped the Lord. He started worshiping him, and humbly he said, I want to be clean. I want to be healed. Would you like me to be healed? And Jesus Christ says, yes, I will. And the man was completely healed. And then Jesus said something to him. Let's read verse 4. Matthew 8:4.
And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.
Now here Jesus Christ is saying to this man, don't tell anybody. Is it possible? That man was looking ugly and everything, and all of a sudden he looks nice and he said, don't tell anybody. Why Jesus Christ was saying, if he says by mistake to somebody, you know what? I was a leper and Jesus healed me. Right away they are going to say, I don't believe it. One thing. Another thing, don't touch us. Because leper cannot touch anybody. So what they have to do, Jesus Christ said, do one thing before you tell anybody. Go to the priest. Moses had the law. If anyone has a leprosy and that person get healed, he has to go to the priest and priest has to check. And then priest has to approve that your disease is gone. Then they will say, do some sacrifice. Just like a doctor's certificate. Now you are okay. You can go to the community. You can do the job and everything. And then he got the permission. Then you can tell everybody. And so if somebody wants to know, where is that law? It's in Leviticus. It's in Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14. Okay, let's go back to Matthew chapter 8 verse 5.
And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him.
The centurion means the man who has 100 soldiers under him. Means he is a big officer, And he comes to Jesus Christ and says, my servant has some kind of disease. Now he might be paralyzed with a severe arthritis disease, because he's saying this man is grievously tormented. And so a crippling disease, painful disease. His servant might be crying out and the situation is so bad. So he comes to Jesus Christ and tells the story. This is what my servant is having problem. Jesus Christ said, okay, I'll come to your house and I will heal him. See what this man says. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8.
The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed.
This man is saying to Jesus, I'm not worthy. This man was not a beggar. He was not a poor man. He was officer. He might have good living quarters or good house. But he said, I'm not worthy. So what he's trying to say, just speak the word. I know you can say my servant will be healed. You just say healed and he'll be healed. Just say the word. And so he just gave a little bit more explanation why he's saying that. Read the verse 9.
For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it.
But he said, I have authority. Tell my servants, go, they go, come, they come, and they are all officers. So you could do the same. You could just say the word and my servant will be healed. So the Jesus Christ was very happy. He did not give him right away answer to him what Jesus Christ is going to do. But he took that opportunity to tell the audience, see what kind of man is this? Because that centurion was not Jewish man. That centurion was the heathen man. That centurion had a lot of faith and he said to Jesus, just speak the word. See what Jesus said. Verse 10.
When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel.
Now, all these Israeli people were listening. So Jesus Christ took the advantage to tell these people, look at this man, he's a heathen man. He's a very good officer. He has power. He has money. He might have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars for this man. Nothing happened, but he found out that Jesus Christ has power, that he can heal my servant. And he says, I never saw this kind of faith in Israel. So he was working for Israeli people. He said, I came to the lost sheep. And he did not go to any other town, but just the Israeli people. But those people did not believe him, did not follow him, did not listen to him. So now this centurion just standing there waiting for his reply. Read verse 11.
And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven.
Now he's just saying east and west. But another scripture says east, west, south, north, they can come all over the world. And he says all these people, now he's not talking about Jewish people. He's talking about Gentiles. Means all people all around the world, they will come. And where are they coming? They are coming in the kingdom of God.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.